Welcome to the Panther Creek Baptist Church podcast, where each week we bring you Pastor Erdy Carter's message from God's Word and help you apply it to your daily life. If you want to join us on Sunday, visit pcbco.org for the time and location.
We are in a series on the seven letters, and we want to look at these letters. And we're in letter number six to Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love. And as I was taking time to study this text this week, I was reminded of an event that happened in my life. I'm hard-pressed to know, 15, 20 years ago. I was serving on staff at a church. I was a student minister and had a good friend who was a children's minister. And he calls me one night and says, "Hey, do you know a locksmith in town?" He and his wife didn't grow up in the city or in the county, and I had. And he said, I need a locksmith." I said, "What do you need a locksmith for?" He goes, "Well, we left my car at church with the keys in my office, and I've ridden home with my wife, and we can't get in our house. She doesn't have a key to the house." Okay. He says, "I've already put Jennifer up on the roof, and she's looked at every window. All the windows are sealed. We can't get in." I was like, "What? Do you want me to just go to the office and get your key?" No. "Just call. Give me a locksmith number." Alan, it's Sunday night. 8 o'clock, you think, what's it going to cost you for a lock? I got to get in my house. My boys are ready to go to sleep. "Alan, I can get you in your house. I've tried. Jennifer's tried all the windows. She's up on the roof. I got her off the roof. Alan, I can get you in your house." "Okay." I said, "Walk around to the door to your garage, to the back door to your garage." He walked around. "Erdy, it's locked." "I know it's locked. Just stand there." I said, "Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to back up to that door." He backed up to the door, and I said, "Now listen, right under the doorknob, I want you to kick it." Now, he played soccer. I said, "I don't want you to kick it like a sissy kicks a soccer ball. I want you to kick it like you want in your house." I said, "I'm going to count to three, and you kick it. One, two, three." Next words I hear is, "I do not know how you knew that would work, but thank you." I said, "Well, I fractured a few laws before I came to ministry." I said, "I'll come by and help you fix your door when you get done." It was so funny. He couldn't wait. He had to get into his house. I thought about that this week as I was reading this text, because I thought, how often do we as the church not wait on God, but just do things our way? We're going to look at a text this morning that God tells them that he is the doorkeeper, so to speak. He's the one who opens the door. Church in Philadelphia is a church called Brotherly Love. We know that. It was up on a high plain. It was very high up on the hill. I mean, you had to look up to see it. You had to go up to get to it. In 17 AD, it was destroyed by an earthquake. And Tiberius, the Caesar at the time, Roman Caesar, had it rebuilt. And so it always had a close tie to Rome. It was called the Gateway to the East. Everything kind of went through them. Hence, gateway. We're going to look at this text, and Jesus is going to say, "But I'm the one who opens the doors." Not only was it the gateway, but it was a missionary to the Greek culture. It was considered one of these cultures that would teach you about the Greek culture. And so when Jesus writes to the church at Philadelphia, he reminds them, "I am the open door. I'm the one who opens the doors." And it's about the gospel. So this morning, if you're able and you have your copy of God's Word either on or open, would you stand as we read it? You'll also see it on the screen today. Beginning in verse 7. "I write to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Thus says the Holy One, the true one, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one will close, and who closes and no one opens. I know your work. Look, I have a place before you, an open door, that no one can close because you have but little power. Yet you've kept my word and have not denied my name. Note this. I will make those from the synagogue of Satan who claim to be Jews and are not, but are lying. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you, because you've kept my command to endure. I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray together. Father, teach us from this text. Remind us of your hand. May we trust you and wait on you. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Here's a big idea I want you to catch this morning. It's simply this. A faithful church understands what God has for them and what God can do through them. Catch that. A faithful church is one who recognizes and understands what God has for them and can do through them. In other words, it's all about God. At the end of the day, it's all about God. And so as we look at this text this morning and we look at this city of love, I want you to notice a few things that we find that God kind of tells them as we read this. Now, notice one of the things we didn't see in this letter, as we've seen in the others, is there's no condemnation. There's nothing that says, I know your heart and your heart's not good. There's no repent and turn to me. This is a small church that has been faithful and working hard to do what God has for them. And so God reminds them, Christ reminds them of their work. So let me give you a few things we see in this text. First is we see the potential of the local church in this text. The potential of the local church. Look at verses 7 and 8 with me again. Thus the Holy One, the true One, the one who has the key of David, who opens and no one closes, who closes and no one opens. The potential here is we see God's working on their behalf. God opens the doors for them. They have opportunities. They may not be big and mighty, but they're faithful. Do you realize that God never worries about how big you get, just how obedient you are? He just wants you to be obedient. If he says, this is what I want you to do, obedience is what he asks you to do. He'll take care of the rest. I mean, you look through Scripture and you see every time somebody has been obedient, God does amazing things. He closes the mouths of lions. He allows three men to go into a fire and never get burned. He allows a guy to get out of a boat and walk on water. Every time there is obedience, God works. God is at work. And so I want you to see the potential. God is always working for the potential. He's always working for the church. So at Panther Creek, what do you think the potential is for Panther Creek? I mean, you think about what God has done in the history of this church, and you think about the future. Do you believe that the potential for Panther Creek is still great? That God is still opening doors for Panther Creek? Let me tell you, God is opening doors left and right. All you have to do is be obedient and faithful. All I have to do is be obedient and faithful to what God's calling us to do. One of the potentials that God has given us is possibly next Sunday night. 650 people have said, hey, we're interested in that event. Do I believe 650 people are coming? No. I mean, People all the time look at an event on Facebook and go, I'm interested in that. But that doesn't mean they'll attend. But whatever attends, God gives us a potential there. And here's how that works. That works when you and I recognize that as people are coming into the building next Sunday night, and coming around next Sunday night, or on Sunday morning, we become friendly. Now, here's the thing. I don't want you to treat them like family. I want you to treat them like friends. Because you know how you treat your family. Right? You go to a family reunion. Who's that? Well, I don't know. What's she wearing? What's he got? Where did he come from? He ain't kin to me. That's how we treat our family. Our friends, man, we can't wait to share with them. We can't wait to tell them the good news. We can't wait to say something to them. So here's the thing. God's opening doors. What we have to do is treat people like friends. And that means we can't be in our holy huddle. That means we have to recognize, hey, here's a potential. Look what God's doing. God looks at this church and says, I know how big you are. They weren't very big, but they were faithful. And he was opening the doors. The second thing I want you to catch from this text is the priorities of the local church. The priorities. Look with me. You'll see them here in verse 8. They're all in verse 8. He says, I know your works. Then he says, look, I have placed before you an open door. The first priority we have to have is we have to see open doors. We have to see opportunities that God puts before us. Sometimes those opportunities happen in our neighborhood. Sometimes those opportunities happen at our workplaces. Sometimes those opportunities happen just by happenstance. A couple weeks ago, we were on vacation coming home. Drew was hankering for Whataburger. And, you know, if you've been to the South, you know Whataburger. And so the last Whataburger we were going to run into was Huntsville. We know that exit, so we're going to stop at Huntsville. We've got that trip was an interesting trip. Not only did we have my mother-in-law and Drew in the back seat, but for whatever reason, we decided it would be good to take Daisy, to our dog, to Lower Alabama. So that means we all can't get out of the car. So Pam goes in and gets our order. She's just standing there. And next thing you know, she's engaged in a conversation with a woman. And before they end the conversation, they both recognize they both love Jesus. They both attend a church. In fact, the lady actually attends a church of a friend of ours in Clarksville, Tennessee. All because a conversation happens. Now, I'm the worst about that. I can go someplace and stand in line and go, oh, I don't have to talk to anybody. And when I do, I sometimes miss the opportunity. I miss the open door. And every time I miss the open door, I think back to a seminary professor I had on evangelism who did the same very thing that I do, went into a gas station, was just frustrated because he was going to a piano recital with his wife. And so he went in and paid while she was in the restroom. He was just frustrated because he had to go to a piano recital. And he pays to the clerk. The next guy walks in, is riding a Harley. He's got all the leather. He's got all the tattoos. And the little girl says something to him. And the next thing he knows, my seminary professor is standing there, who is a seminary professor on evangelism. The next thing he's witnessing is this Harley rider sharing the gospel to this girl who needs Jesus. And he's going, Lord, I missed an opportunity. We have to see open doors. We have to have ears to hear and opportunities. When we are out, we have opportunities. Second thing we have to do is we got to rely on God's strength. Look at verse 8. I have placed before you an open door that no one can close, because you have but little power. In other words, you can't do it. You can't do it on your own. You can't make it happen. You have to rely on God's strength. God's power is the only way the church is ever going to grow. God's power is the only way somebody's going to come to know Christ. God's power is what we need, and we have to start relying on Christ's power rather than our own. Too often, churches are so consumed with doing it their way, and they miss Christ's way. Because here's the thing, we can do a lot of things on our own. We can gather on our own. We can pick songs on our own. We can do Bible study on our own. And every time we do, nothing's going to happen because we're not relying on Christ's power. But when we get up and we put Christ in first in our life, and we start relying on Christ, we begin to rely on His strength. Henry Martin, a missionary to Asia, said, the nearer we get to Jesus, the closer intensely we become to missionaries. The nearer you get to Jesus, the closer you become to be intensely missionary. In other words, the closer you get to Jesus, the more you're going to share Jesus. The further away you get from Jesus, the less likely you're going to rely on His power. Third thing we see in this text, or in verse 8, is simply this. There's obedience. Verse 8 says, I've placed an open door that no one can close because you have little power, yet you have kept my word, and you've not denied my name. Obedience. You've kept my word. Scripture is clear. Scripture, there's more clarity in Scripture than we want to give credit for. Oh, we want to argue that we don't understand, but listen, we understand the Ten Commandments pretty easily, don't we? We understand love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Right? We know that. We know that for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that. We know for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We know a lot. We know enough to be obedient. Oh, we might not be able to know the end times or how everything's going to work. Or we may not understand all the visions in Isaiah or Revelation, but we know enough to be obedient. The question is, will we be obedient? Will we put Christ first and our selfishness second? So he tells this church, he says, I want you to see the priorities. The priorities are simply, see the open door, rely on my strength, and be obedient. For Panther Creek, that's really what we've got to do. Look for the opportunities, rely on Christ, and be obedient to what He calls us to do. Real simple. Simple to say, not always easy to do. Because obedience may mean, hey, I need you to do some things that are uncomfortable. I mean, it wasn't anything easy for Moses to say, sure, I'll be glad to do that. David had some uncomfortable moments. You think the disciples had uncomfortable moments? Paul? Everyone has uncomfortable moments. But that's what he calls us to do. Third thing we see in this text is the promise of the local church. The promises to the local church. If you look in the verses that follow, we find where God says simply, verse 9, I will make those who are in the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, who are not, but are liars. I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and they will know that I have loved you. Listen, in other words, here's some of the promises. He says, Jesus will protect you. Jesus is going to come to a place, and he's going to protect his church. He's going to protect his church in such a way that we're going to realize he's got this. He's going to protect the church so that no matter what we go through, no matter what the challenges we face, he's going to protect his church so that the church can stand. Do you realize the church has been around longer than anything else? God always protects his church. And he reminds them of his protection. So here's the thing. When we're obedient, it may be difficult. It may look dark and dreary. But God's going to protect us. All we have to do is be obedient. Second thing we see in this text is in verse 11, we see that Jesus will return soon. He tells us, he says, hold on. Verse 11, I'm coming soon, hold on. Now, the last two men's Bible breakfasts, we've had somebody speak the last two times talking about end times. I can't get in a conversation with you about end times. It's fascinating. And it was interesting to sit and listen to both those men talk about end times, and they both had guesses when the world was coming to an end, and I appreciate their heart and their knowledge on the subject. And even one of them, we had a conversation, because I don't really care when the end time comes. You know, I just care if we're prepared or not. And so I appreciated that person's heart, because they had not only talked about the end times, but needing to be prepared, people be prepared. I don't know when Christ is going to return. Listen, I'll celebrate if he comes today, because glory's a lot better than what we got. I will be made whole in glory. I take my glasses off. I've told you, I can't see a thing. You look real good when I take my glasses off. You know? But when I get to glory, I don't have to have glasses. I was walking down the steps a couple weeks ago. Can I confess something to you for a moment? I was walking in the middle of the night the other night. Didn't have my glasses on. Down the steps without the lights on. Fell the last two steps. Landed in the floor. Praise the Lord, I've learned I'm at that age to hold on to the rail. I was holding on to the rail doing the splits, landing in the floor at the bottom of the steps. I cried out, "Oh!" Nobody said a word. I finished what I was doing downstairs and came back upstairs. Pam goes, "Did you fall?" "Thanks for checking on me." You know, in glory, I won't have that problem. I'm good if he comes back today. Are you?
Amen.
He's going to return soon. That's a promise. So our responsibility is we've got to be ready, not only for us, but who's in your life that's not ready. Somebody's asked me before, will we know who doesn't make it? No, we won't. Because there's no sorrow in heaven. And if you know a loved one didn't make it, what would you be? Sorrowful. So right now is the time to make sure they make it. Tell them the good news. Listen, you've got a story to tell. Nobody else in this room has your story. You have that story. No, none of you in this room can tell the story that I can tell, that at the age of 8, my parents sent me off to Schaefer Baptist Campground that Davis County Association owns. That on Thursday night of that campground, under a little shade tree out there, I prayed to receive Christ. Nobody else can tell that story like I can. Nobody can tell you the story that I can tell you of growing up in a family who loved Jesus and yet trying to play the church kid on Sunday and the and the community kid on Monday through Saturday. Nobody can tell you that story but me. Nobody can tell you what it was finally like when I recognized I need to be all in and give my heart to Christ. Oh, you have a story, and your story's great. It's an amazing story. But the key thing about your story and my story is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel that's changed our life. And it's the gospel that will change somebody else's life. So Jesus will return soon. He promises that. Our responsibility is to be ready. If you're not ready today, let me tell you how you can be ready. It's real simple. It's acknowledging that you need Jesus. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. You need that gift. You have to acknowledge you need that gift. You have to believe who Jesus is, that he was God's son. He came and lived a perfect life. He never knew the pleasure of sin, but he knew what obedience looked like. You have to believe that. And you have to choose to follow Christ. To lay down your life and say, I want his life. I want what Christ did for me. That's how you can be prepared. Third thing we see in this text, or in these closing verses, is that Jesus has a place for us. He's got a place for us. Look in verse 12. The one who conquers, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he will never go out again. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. He's got a place for us. There's going to come a point where God's going to call us all home. We'll spend eternity someplace. The question is where. So I went back over to Alan and Jennifer's house after I taught him how to kick that door in and go into his house. I had to help him fix the door trim. Now, just so you don't go out and tell your friends and family, hey, y'all come, we got a criminal at our church pastoring our church. I learned that trick because our house got broke into. I've used that trick a time or two, but, you know. Yeah, not to steal anything, however you want to put that. But I went back over there and I helped him repair the damage and fix the door frame and that kind of thing. But the simple thing would have been, he had a key to open the door. Just let me come get the key and open his door for him. But he couldn't wait. How are you on God's timing? How do you go about it? Are you waiting on God's timing? Are you listening to what God has? Are you following through with what God wants you to do? Are you trusting Christ? Or have you decided that you can do it better your way? Listen, I'm going to confess to you, waiting on God's not always the easiest thing to do. I wished it was. I wish God would say, hey, I'm going to make you wait just a little bit. You know, like how your grandmother does when she's got candy. There's not really a long wait. She wants to give you candy, but she acts like she's going to make you wait. But God doesn't do that. God has a way of doing things in his timing. And it's frustrating. You'll begin to question things. God, do you not love me? God, do you not care about me? God, why why have you let this happen to our church? Why does this happen to me? Why is this happening? And the truth of the matter is, what I have found is most of the time God's just waiting to see how obedient you'll be. How obedient will you be? Will you do what he calls you to do regardless of what the circumstances are? Or do you give in to the circumstances? The Church of Philadelphia is one of those churches we need to model. They were obedient. They were living in a culture that modeled a lot of things outside of Christ. But they kept on. They kept on sharing Jesus. They kept on being obedient. They kept on proclaiming. Can you say the same? Would you stand with me this morning? Just a moment, we'll sing our hymn of invitation. I'm going to invite you just for a moment to bow your heads. And just think for yourself for just a moment. How obedient are you? Maybe today you need to ask God to give you patience. To give you patience to trust God and follow God. Maybe there's something that's going on in your life that you're tired of waiting. And God's just waiting on you to give it up. Would you do that today? Maybe you're here this morning and you're just trying to pray, and God, what do you want me to do at Panther Creek? How do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? Would you just give up all your expectations and let God have it? Would you just be faithful?
Thanks for listening. If you have questions or a prayer request, you can email us at pcbc@pcbco.org.